This is The Gauge with host Chance Conradud.
Are you freaking serious? It's Conrado.
This is The Gauge, and I am host Chance Conrado. On this episode of the podcast, we have got the redheaded superstar, aka the greatest dental hygienist ever, and a pretty damn good barrel racer, Emily Miller. Check it out. So you live in what part of Oklahoma?
Weatherford, Oklahoma.
Weatherford, Oklahoma.
I'm so proud of you. Confused. You got the Oklahoma part right, well, which is super important.
It's super important because there's also a Weatherford, Texas, yeah. And I'm also from Colorado, so I would be very confused with more than one Weatherford.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, I get announced as a Parker County cowgirl all the time.
Parker County cowgirl?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, no, guys, it's Oklahoma. Like, forever trying to put Oklahoma on the map.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. I mean, what is Oklahoma actually on the map for besides, like, the Sooners and now this Tiger King guy?
Right?
Few barrel racers, yeah, I guess.
But. Real quality state right there. We got a lot of things going for us.
So much. Yeah. I mean, at least they're going to put a, what's up?
I was going to say tornadoes.
Mm. I don't know that they want to be on the map for that, because that's what wrecks their map, if you think about it.
Pretty much destroys us.
But, you know, how big is that town?
There's 11,000 people.
Oh, so there's a strong possibility you get your own road sign.
Yeah, there's a chance of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep winning. I mean, because you kind of went on a tear last year. It was pretty impressive.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I'd like to do it again.
Well, you probably should if they will let you rodeo.
I know, if they have an NFR ever again.
Ever? Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? I mean, I saw this funny thing about Shad Mayfield. Like, the only thing that could keep Shad Mayfield, I think I already said this on an episode, but only thing that could keep Shad Mayfield from winning the world, coronavirus, what's up?
Right. No, that's so true.
So, like, true.
I think he just won Cave Creek too.
Yeah, he did.
Like, isn't that crazy?
Dude can't miss.
No, it's his time.
What's going on?
His time to shine.
It sucks for everybody who's not him.
Right?
But yeah, it's pretty interesting. Like, what, he's first, Tough Cooper second, but there's like $100,000 between them.
Nice, comfortable lead.
Yeah. At 19 years old, you imagine, like, what, did he win $700,000 in like 2 weeks? Like,
yeah. 19? He probably enjoyed quarantine.
Yeah, probably.
I'm just going to say, like, you have that kind of comfort zone.
Yeah,
you're probably fine. Life is probably pretty good.
You probably don't have to worry at all.
No.
But, What I really liked, it was kind of funny. We were all kind of rooting. Okay, so I root for Ivy, number one.
Sure.
No doubt. But we were all rooting for you as well. I was like, God, Emily, she's just like jumping on all these different horses and just winning. Like, come to the Vegas, to the NFR. First NFR, win round one. It was pretty sick.
It was insane. Like, and thank you for that. It absolutely blew my mind. I mean, coming up to the NFR, I was like, you know, I knew there's a lot of veterans. There was definitely rookies, you know, coming. I think there was six of us that hadn't been there before. But, you know, I won almost all of my money in Canada or in big outdoor arenas, you know, like a good majority of it. And Chongo is 16-1. He's big, long strided. And I was like, this is not an ideal setup for us. You know, and I think I talked about this on another podcast. Like, San Antonio, they always say, is the most similar setup to Vegas. And I did terrible at San Antonio. Like, it was awful. I think I got one clean run out of five. No timed. It was a disaster. So I had zero confidence going in the finals, for real.
Until round one.
Yeah, until round one. We just sent it. I mean.
Yeah, so what was the mentality, like, your first time going through the tunnel and then for that 13-8 or whatever your time was?
It was, you know, I kept talking to myself. I'm one of those, like, as a kid, you know, in grade school, the teacher said whenever I would read a book, like, I would, like, mouth it, like, lip whatever I was saying. I don't know how you say that, but
I definitely don't know where you're going.
No,
with this.
Like, I wouldn't say it out loud, but my mouth was moving like I was saying the words.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's like that was just a way that I would learn, which is weird. I'm weird. I'm a redhead. I do everything weird. But, you know, I would tell myself, sit up, look to your spots. Sit up and look to your spots. And that's all I said it the whole way down the alley. And, you know, and I think it helps Chongo too, just kind of hearing my voice, you know, pet name and stuff. And then it kind of keeps me focused on what my job is. You don't really hear the crowd when you're talking to yourself. Like, you kind of get in the zone. And I don't know, when he turned the first barrel like he did, I was like, all right, we just got to survive the next two, you know. And I had hit a barrel at Fort Worth like a month before the NFR to win a really big barrel race down there. And it was the third barrel, and I just quit riding before the third. And Renee Ward, she told me, she was like, just so you know, next month, that's a $26,000 barrel. Don't make that mistake again. So we just went back and watched the NFR. And I was like, I was not going to hit that third barrel. I was riding through to the rope and chutes because, you know, I was gonna make sure he got around it. And I don't know, when they said my time, it just was crazy. I've never fist bumped before, fist bumped in the alleyway, and it was just a blur after that.
Oh, I can't imagine. Yeah, and then just going to your buckle ceremony, doing all the stuff that you did after that. I mean, it was probably the party night like no other.
It literally was like the best night of my life. It was so fun, you know, and my family was there. Austin was there. You know, it just really, it was truly so special. You know, I had some cousins that were around too, and they went to the South Point with us, and we stayed a little bit for the concert, and, you know, it just, it's unreal. That experience, it just, like, if I didn't have a sweatshirt on, it'd give me chills right now. It was cool.
It was so cool to watch, that's for sure. But, I mean, after that, you just, like, were surgical, like you're a dentist or something.
Right.
You know, just totally surgical, and the hard thing that people like you, and really all everybody who's barrel racing right now, is you guys are in what I consider to be the toughest field of competition that I think's ever existed. I mean, you guys are, we're just seeing these times that just blow your mind night after night. And so to do what you did and finish where you did at third in the world, and I think, you know, reserve average, I mean, for your first, that was amazing.
It shocked me as much as it shocked anybody else. And honestly, like, Gail, she'd posted a deal about, like, her NFR average prediction. And she was like, I think Emily Miller and Chongo will be solid. And I just laughed at it. I was like, there's no way. Like, I never make that many clean runs in a row, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say, like, I went in there, like, doubting myself. But I also was like, it's the NFR. You know, I'm up against the best in the world. Like, I have to bring my A game. And this is going to be tough. Like, this is going to be a really tough setup for me and my horse. So, like, if I'm not 110% every night, like, I might as well forget it.
Yeah, I mean, If Ivy wouldn't have put on, like, the most probably unbelievable clinic ever, you had the average in the bag. I mean, and to do that on your first year at the NFR, I mean, Ivy went in, it was her fourth, you know, fourth mm-hmm. NFR. So, I mean, yeah. It was like, it was culminating, but for you to do it the way you did, I mean, it was so impressive. I mean, we were all, including Ivy, we were just, like, cheering for you. I couldn't believe it.
But. It was awesome. And, you know, that's what I think is so cool about, like, my friendship with Ivy and Haley. And, I mean, all the girls, I mean, truly, it was an outstanding group of girls at the finals this year. But, like, we were pulling for each other, you know, like, every night you were like, you want your friend to do as good as they can do. And, you know, a lot of the reason I got to the finals was because of Ivy's help. I mean, she was instrumental all year, you know, and we were so close at several rodeos, and, like, to make the finals at Calgary, we were 1/100th apart, you know, and I edged her out by 1/100th of a second at that rodeo. But I promise you, I wouldn't have, because she helped me get my horse sound all week, you know. And that's what I think is really neat behind the scenes, is, you know, a lot of people see the competition and whatnot, but, like, truly, like, we're in the back, like, pulling for one another. And I think that's so rare.
It's so rare. And that's what is so interesting about kind of, like, the integrity of, not all, but the integrity of rodeo athletes. You know what I mean? It's just
certainly.
Like, she could be back there helping you get ready, and then you kick her ass, and it's just no problem. Or vice versa. She kicks right. your ass, or, you know, you're going to 80 rodeos a year, mm-hmm. and just to kind of be able to have that integrity to help each other, knowing that one of you is going to beat the other one, no matter who it is. It's just a different thing that you don't really see in any other sports, which is why it's such a special thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and she says it the best when she talked about, like, helping me at Calgary with Chongo. You know, she was like, I want to see this horse have a chance to be the best he can be. You know, like, it's outside of even just our friendship. Like, it's our love and our care for our animal athletes. You know, we love them and we want them to have the chance to shine. And she knows how talented Chongo is. And he'd had heck. Like, we ran at Pinoca and the wind chill was like 27 degrees on Showdown Sunday. It was the coldest I've ever been in my life. And, you know, that horse just got tight. I mean, he just was so muscle tight. And so I got on Pipe Wrench that last round to give him a little more time. And Ivy was like, hey, like, you know, let's use my PMF machine, and I've got an AccuScope girl, and, like, let's get this horse feeling better, so hopefully you can ride him, you know, on the finals on Sunday. And, you know, not everybody would do that. And so I think that speaks volumes, like you say, for your sister, but also for, you know, rodeo athletes, and, like, how much we're willing to help each other.
Yeah, I mean, you see it in other events. I mean, like, bulldogging, for instance, those guys will compete against each other, but then haze for each other.
It's, yeah, like, no, bulldoggers are the best. They're like a big family.
When's the guy going to pull up to make sure he wins? And they right? just don't. No. You know what I mean? It's just like they don't sabotage each other, and it's just when money's on the line, you get to see people's character, mm-hmm. and we've seen the bad before, you know, but most of it's good. Like, most of the people, a humongous portion of the demographic who rodeos, they're just quality people.
Yeah.
And it's exciting the time that we're in with kind of the evolution of the sport of rodeo, seeing how much more people get to see that side of people like you, people like Ivy, you name somebody, you know, it's awesome. Going back to your horse, I mean, how long have you had him?
2 years. Yeah, a little over 2 years now. I bought him in January of 18. It's kind of a crazy story. I tried him actually in July of 2015, and I tried Pipe Wrench at the same time, and I ended up buying Pipe Wrench. I love Chongo. I mean, it was so hard for me to decide between the two, which, I mean, that doesn't happen very often. You get on a horse and it's like, this is the one. And this was the two, you know, I could only buy one. So I ended up buying Pipe Wrench. You know, that horse like kickstarted my whole career. I mean, he helped me win the Prairie Circuit Finals, then went to the Ram Circuit Finals and won it, and then got me to Calgary, and we won our set at Calgary and got to the finals there. And like, I dang near made the finals on him in 17. But he got hurt in July, and I was trying to survive the last 2 months, but I didn't have a backup, and I think ended up 17th in the world, just barely missed the finals that year. And later that fall, I ended up selling a horse. So I called Renee and I was like, hey, I was like, there's not a chance Chongo's for sale, is there? And she's like, no, I don't think so. And then January she called me and she said, hey, like, I've got Chongo and he's for sale, and you're my first phone call, but you know, I've got other people in mind. And I was like, I'll be there as soon as I can get off work, like, I'll be there. And so I went down and tried him, bought him, and it was a disaster. Like, I'm not gonna lie, it was so bad. I have never felt like a bigger idiot on a horse in my life than trying to run barrels on him the first like 3 to 4 months. Like, it was terrible. I hit so many barrels so hard that like they had to get an ambulance out there to revive them. It was terrible. But yeah, it was not ideal, not what I dreamed it was going to be. And I didn't know what to do. I was like, I've never had a horse that I believed in this much that I cannot figure out how to ride. And I've rode behind the Ward girls for the last like 3 years. So I have an idea like what they do and, you know, and their timing and everything. Like, am I ever going to have the same timing as them? No. Do I strive to? Absolutely. But, you know, it's still like, you know, I couldn't replicate them. And so I finally, like, I just started going almost every week and riding with Kylie. And, like, I left Chongo down there for, I think, a month. And she kind of got him settled back down and recovered from all the mental trauma that I'd put on him. I think April, we started winning. Like, I won around on him at Corpus Christi, and then I won Bridgeport, Texas on him, and kind of kickstarted our summer. And then, you know, we had a little bit of a rough go in 18, and he had an abscess and some stuff. And so anyway, but I kind of figured out my horse, you know, I had an idea like where he would be successful and excel, and where my backup horse I thought would be, you know, good too, and kind of compliment him. And so in 2000, you know, I was like, I'm going to set out a plan. We're going back to Calgary 2019. Like, that's my goal. And so I chased the tour rodeos and qualified to go back to Calgary. And then I was like, after my win at Austin in March of 19, I was like, I think I could maybe like try for the NFR this year. You know, it's not ever something that I'm like, I feel like you have to have a game plan and try to set yourself up for success. But like, I've never felt that you can just be like, I'm making the NFR this year and like, it's going to happen. Like, you have to, you know, every day is a new day. Every day is a new rodeo. And there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long year to get there.
Absolutely.
I mean, from October to October, it's a beatdown.
Mm-hmm. So. It is. It's a marathon. And there's so many different ways to do it. You know, like, Ivy loves the Northwest. I do not. Like, not my favorite
she
place.
She likes to party in Pendleton.
Right. Yeah, I think that's it too. Yeah, I never got the chance to party in Pendleton. I had 24 hours to make a 22-hour drive to Albuquerque ran at Pendleton. That is part of why I hate the Northwest. But yeah. Maybe someday I'll go back, give it a go again.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you have to probably, according to her. But it's interesting. You told me earlier, you've got 6 head of horses right now.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're managing a lot of rodeo horses.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, I've got 2 young ones that are coming up. One of them's Chongo's little sister. She's 5. And then I've got a 3-year-old that I raised. So those 2 you probably won't see on the rodeo trail. But I mean, I've got 4 that I consider like, could be anybody's good rodeo horse, and they're all like doing really well and feel good. And I mean, they They look like they've been quarantined for the last 60, 70 days.
Shit, don't we all?
Yeah, right? Got to get some of that quarantine weight off of them before the rodeo start. But no, I'm really excited about this year, you know, and that was kind of my plan. I had a pretty light schedule this winter because I was like, I'm going to go over the summer and, you know, try to hit some more rodeos. And then everything kind of got brought to a halt.
Yeah. So, I mean, having your plan kind of completely destroyed, not just with rodeo, but I mean, your job too, because you're one of the few people who works a job.
Yeah,
you know, which is another thing I've always liked about you. But. Well,
thank you. Yeah, COVID just, man, it messed up 2020. Now, hopefully the wedding is still on, you know.
Yeah.
That'd be a good thing that if it can not interfere with that. But yeah, I mean, as far as like working as a hygienist, they shut us down just as fast as they shut the rodeos down.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like this all comes from breathing.
You'd be surprised how many people come into the office and they're like, I have strep throat, so I can't go to work, but I want my teeth cleaned.
Cool, no problem. Thanks, man.
It's like, we're going to go ahead and reschedule you.
Yeah. They're like, I don't care about you, but hey, can you clean these?
Right, yeah, exactly. So that's always a good time. But yeah, it's been good. It's been good to be back in the dental office.
Yeah.
I never was so excited to see plaque on teeth, and only other hygienists will understand that. But
yep, just saying. That sounds really, really like something I would not be into.
Right.
But so you're probably working so much now, like probably like you haven't for a long time. They're probably like, man, we have not seen Emily around here since like, we hired her.
Yeah, seriously though, like I after Calgary last year, I backed off quite a bit, you know, and basically just went on to a fill-in schedule. And so the girls are pretty good about like letting me know, a couple weeks, 3 weeks out ahead of time, you know, when they need me to cover and stuff. And now that they're a month and a half behind, we've got another hygiene room open and booking extra days and that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's good. I mean, it's good to be busy again because I mean, we're not rodeoing and I'm passionate about it. Like that's what people. You know, seem kind of like they don't understand. They're like, why won't you just quit your job? And I'm like, because I love my job. Like I truly do. And like the patients are awesome. Like I, even during quarantine, like I had a patient come drive out to my house and he was like, hey, I thought you told me that you live somewhere out here, but I wasn't sure. So I just kind of started driving around and he was like, I haven't seen you forever. Like I just wanted to come say hi. You know, and I think that's awesome that you get the chance to develop that kind of relationship with people. Cause I mean, really, you know, I usually see most of my patients every, 3 to 4 times a year. And so you do, you know, and they were all cheering me on during the finals. I thought it was cool. The office bought a bunch of Miller Time shirts and everything. So it's cool to have that extra, like, family to support you, too.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, the more people supporting you, the better.
Absolutely.
For them, I'm like, I got a celebrity cleaning my teeth. Well, who's cleaning your teeth?
Right. Yeah, it's always cute, the kids. You know, like a lot of the kids I see at the barrel races and stuff, they're like, that's my dentist. And I was like, hygienist, you know, like I can't take credit for being a dentist because I didn't go to school that long. But I was like, yeah, they see me on TV and they just think that's the neatest thing. So I think it's kind of cool to inspire people in that sense too. And, you know, and that's kind of what we were talking about earlier, you know, like my upbringing versus Ivy's has been totally different. Like Ivy literally was survival mode, you know, and she busted her tail, like, no backup plan, had to make it work.
No backup plan. I mean, as somebody who was right there with her, like, yeah, no backup plan.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, let's start from kind of the beginning of your journey and let's hear about that.
Yeah. You know, like my parents are not rodeo people at all. You know, my mom's an accountant. My dad, he worked 2 full-time jobs while I was growing up. Like, I mean, I have good childhood memories with my dad and he's been amazing, but he worked his freaking rear off to provide for us kids. He's a farmer and an ag pilot. So he was really busy with that. And then I have 2 brothers, 1 older, 1 younger. They have nothing to do with horses. I'm the only redhead. So it's always kind of an inside joke that I might be the hired man pilot's kid because he's redheaded and talks a lot. You know, haha. But we're just kidding.
I'm sure that your mother loves that joke.
Right? Yeah, no, it's funny. Dad, anytime I'm being a terrorist, Dad's like, are you sure she's mine? I'm pretty sure she's got to be Randy's. So, you know, I'm always a joke, which is, it's fine. It comes with being a redhead. But, you know, I just developed a passion for animals when I was little. I loved the Lion King, all that stuff. And then my babysitter had horses, Jana. She was the one who walked me down the alleyway at the NFR. Mm-hmm. And, she had horses, so I shadowed her forever, went with, you know, her to every rodeo she'd go to, and it just kind of escalated from there, you know, and I was like, this is what I want to do, and, you know, I went to school at Garden City, got to rodeo for my good friend, Jim Boy Hash, he's kind of like a second dad to me. And he led me down the alleyway one night at the finals when I switched and rode Foxy. And then I went Southwestern, got a bachelor's degree, and then I went on to OU and got my degree in dental hygiene. And I started working. And that's, I don't know, my parents were always very adamant that this is an expensive hobby. This right. is your hobby. This isn't your job.
Right.
And you need a real job. You cannot support yourself doing this by just running barrels. Like, you've got to do something different. And so, like, I did. I went to 6 years of college.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I've paid all my, like, since I was a sophomore in high school, I've pretty much paid all my expenses since then. And, you know, they made sure that I understood, like, the business side of it, which I'm super thankful for. But it, you know, it is a little different way, like, growing up. I mean, nobody knew who I was. You know, I mean, when I rolled into the rodeos, like, I didn't have friends. I didn't have siblings that did this. I didn't have that family background. But I had two parents that were passionate about helping me chase my dreams. And,
right.
you know, and I, like, I'm so thankful for that because they really did. They were like, we don't know anything about this, but we're going to try to learn, you know, and we're going to try to set you up for success. So, yeah, so I worked as a hygienist for a long time, but, you know, when things started going good, my dad was the first one to call me and say, hey, you know, if you want a rodeo, like, you've proved to me you can work. Like, this might be your only chance to do this. So why don't you go ahead and give it a go?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly what you did. But I mean, gosh, how nice is it just knowing that you've got that support from your family? I mean, I just got to imagine that having people in your corner like that is so huge.
It really is. I mean, and I couldn't do it without them. You know, like, I just truly am so thankful that, you know, it wasn't their dream I was ever having to live through. You know, like, they wanted me to do well, but, like, if I didn't, it wasn't a big deal to them.
Right.
They were like, you know, that's fine. Like, you know, whatever. You're just going to have to work harder. If you want to be successful at this, you need to work harder at it. But, you know, we'll do what we can to help.
Right. So. Yeah. It's pretty awesome to hear. And it sounds like your parents, I mean, how could they not be just overly proud with how well things went? But, did you high school rodeo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I high school rodeoed. I competed in all six events. I was like team roping, barrel, all. Yeah. I did cutting. Yeah, high school rodeoed in Kansas. So
wait, how did you go from not doing anything with horses at all to doing all the events not terribly long after?
Yeah, we bought a 6-horse trailer. I was like, Dad, we're gonna fill this thing like front to back with horses, and so we did. I wanted to do everything. You know, I showed horses too. I started out like 4-H, and we had a little Southwestern Kansas Horse Showing Association, and you know, did that for a long time, but I like had a need for speed. I was like, this is too slow for me. I've got to go faster. And so I was ruining all my show horses trying to run barrels on them. And, so they kind of gave that up. And so we started pursuing Little Britches Rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of where it started for sure. I think I was 8 when I qualified for my first Little Britches finals in Colorado Springs, but, my dad told me, he's like, you're not ready for that yet. He's like, we're going to sit it out. We'll go watch. He's really good about that. You know, he's like
grounding you
yeah,
down.
Well, like yeah. that and dangling the carrot a little bit. Like when I missed the finals in 2017, he made me go watch it. And it was like, I did not want to go. I was so.
You finished 17th in the world?
Yeah. So I missed the finals by just a little bit. And at one point, I think I was sitting 7th in the world standings. So I was there.
So you were just absolutely pissed?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he was like, you're going to go. You're going to go watch the finals and you're going to light that fire again and figure out how bad you want this. And come back and make a game plan, you know, and that's, to me, like, cause you do get burnout. I mean, when you are on the bubble or close to it, like it's exhausting and it just mentally wears you out because like you can't hardly focus on what you need to do because there's so much going on and there's so much drama in it, you know, like you have to get the right draws, you know, and if you don't get drawn up right, if your card's not hitting that last couple weeks of September, that's tough. And so, and of course, I was on borrowed horses. I didn't have any of my own horses that I could ride. And so that was even more difficult. I'm so thankful for the people that loaned their horses to me because, like, without them, I'd have been on a stick horse. But, you know, it's hard when you're on somebody else's stuff that's not, you know, you're not used to it. And so, anyway, it was crazy the way that ended. And Dad was like, nope, suck it up, Buttercup. Like, we're going to the finals and you're going to come back stronger from this.
Did he make you go for all 10 days?
No. Oh gosh. I still had to work. I still had a job.
Yeah.
So we went out there. I think it was the last couple rounds. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I can't remember for sure how many days it was, but it was like 3 or 4, you know?
Right.
So it was enough that I was, you know, and the finals was so good that year. I mean, that's when Haley, and she was just on fire.
Yeah.
You know, that, I mean, it was fun to watch, and Nelly won the world. And it was just, it was an awesome year to go. And I think Ivy, that was the year she was second in the average.
Yeah, because she was coming off of her 2016 nightmare.
Yeah.
But yeah, 2017 was the turning point for her. But mm-hmm. I mean, 16, 17, 18, I mean, that's when this field of competitors that you've been competing against for the last few years is just really, I mean, you had everybody from Lisa to Amberly Moore on, mm-hmm. on that Dark Kelly course, and just.
Yeah. Yeah, it just blossomed. Like, and it's
crazy the yeah. people you've had to compete against and the horses you've had to compete against. It's just even more of a testament to literally anybody who makes it, more than, you know, more than just getting to Vegas, but being able to compete at Vegas against that type of, I mean, this is the toughest barrel horses I think anybody's ever seen. Yeah.
Well, and that, and like 15 of us every night. You know, that's the thing. Like, it's, you know, it's not like if your horse isn't doing good, you can turn out and go fix your problem. Like, you've got to figure it out and get better by in 24 hours. You know, and try to compete with horses that are, you know, everything's going right for them, you know, and it is mentally, like, it's a test. It's awesome. There's no experience like it, but it is tough.
Yeah. I mean, I do not envy any of that. And then what was it like for you being in your first year, like the obligations before the rodeo, the signings and just the brutal work that you have to do before?
Yeah, it was a lot, you know, and that's something I'm thankful, you know, we had a group text between Haley, Ivy, and I, and I would ask them questions, you know, and because I hated to, like, sit there and pester them so much, but they were like, please, like, if we have anything that we can tell you, you know, to help make your experience a little easier than our first time, like, we're here to help. And, you know, and I talked to Amber Moore, I talked to Stevie, like, I asked Renee, you know, a lot, because she had been with Kylie the year prior, you know, for any advice. And so, you know, and I'm sure I'm forgetting people, but there's a lot of people that are, you know, hey, like, don't forget, you know, after you've done grand entry practice, you need to have somebody to come get your grand entry horse, because you have photos in 10 minutes and you physically cannot run from your horse back to your trailer, tie it up and run back up to the arena without being late, and they will fine you. So, you know, that's little stuff like that that's not printed that,
right.
you know, that you need to know. And, you know, so that, like, just having people that were willing to share their experience so it wasn't chaos for me helped. But yeah, I wish I would have planned my signings a little better. I was all over the board at, you know, different, you know, buildings doing signings and stuff. And I tried to be somewhat smart about them. Like, you know, if I was in one building, like, that's where I did all my signings that day, but still it was a lot. And it's like, you literally realize, like, you have an 8 and like 48 hours, and all you've done is drink coffee, and, like, you're like, oh my gosh, I need some food, you know. Like, it's just, it's a, you know, and if you get to sleep for 2 hours, like, good for you, because it doesn't happen very often, you know.
Yeah,
it's busy. And I was I think since I grew up in a non-rodeo family, and it's always been like my dream, my deal, like, I had my parents behind me encouraging me to do, you know, what I wanted to do, but it's always been my program. Letting somebody else take care of my horses and feed them and bathe them and prep them and, you know, call the vet if something needed done or whatever, like, that was really hard for me. I'm a little bit of a control freak, like, when it comes to them. Like, I'm like, I know them best. And so Darby Fox was the one that took care of my horses, and, like, I would have never survived Vegas without her. Like, she was awesome. She was on time every time I needed her to bring him up for practice or whatever, to where I could just roll out of the motel and get, like, 30 more minutes of sleep. And, you know, 30 minutes out there is, like, a huge difference. And, you know, so she was really instrumental in just keeping my horse happy, too. You know, like, he's the key player here. Like, I mean, I'm on board, but he's the key player. And if he's not happy, like, it's not going to be fun. So, yeah, all of that, it takes an army. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, everybody has to pull their weight to help anybody who makes it. And it's nice when people who do that stuff get shout outs, because pretty much it's a thankless job for 10 days for them.
Yeah,
it's brutal for them.
She was so sick afterwards, too, like, for like a week. I felt awful. Like, it is like the Vegas flu or whatever. Like, I think it was COVID-19, actually. But
that's what they're saying, yeah, right? Because, like, everybody got sick. I know Ivy got sick. Yeah. I got sick. Like, we all got sick at Vegas. We're like, that was probably that COVID.
Yeah, right.
Way sooner than what they thought.
Because it put some people down.
Yeah.
It was rough. I didn't get sick. I was really lucky. But Austin got it like 2 weeks after we got home.
Mm-hmm.
He started feeling kind of crummy. But
how long was he sick?
Like 5-6 days.
I mean, I had something going on for like 2 weeks.
Oh,
it was
geez.
Like right after Vegas. Like,
ooh.
I don't know what it was, but it was that. Or was that, what was it, the lettuce at South Point everybody got sick from? But it's one of those things.
I heard that too.
Yeah, you get lucky if you didn't go there for that.
Yeah, no, I avoided that. But yeah, I heard the South Point workers were down.
Okay. What's going on with those ones?
That's a feedback.
Oh, yeah, it's on my end.
It's literally never happened until somebody with red hair sits down.
It's always blame the redhead. The story of my life, seriously.
So used to that. Anybody with red hair is just like, is that joke ever going to stop?
No.
I do have a soul.
No, I'm not sure I do. I'm not convinced yet.
Probably anyway. Before you started rodeoing, right?
Right? Yeah, no, seriously, though. Then it was like for sure done. And then the Canadians moved in next to me in Oklahoma, and it was like, That was it. That was where my soul lies.
Is that like a positive for Canadians or a negative on Canadians?
They're pretty wild. Like, I was a good kid.
Wait, so how old were you when they moved in then?
I was 19, I believe, when I moved. Yeah, I was 19 when I moved to Weatherford, Oklahoma. Mm. Yeah.
Where'd you guys move from, though?
I lived close to Garden City, Kansas.
Oh, Kansas, that's right.
Yeah, and so it's like 4.5 hours. It's not bad, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I met some girls, Callie and Cheyenne. And anyway, they ended up living in the property right next to me, and I just lost my horse, like, my dream horse. He was 6 years old and he twisted his gut right after the college finals and died.
No.
Yeah. So like, I was not in a great state. I was pretty like mentally out. I didn't really care about rodeoing but I'd already signed, like, at a scholarship. I was like, all right, I got to figure this out and try to move on. And so I went down there and they partied hard. I was not like used to that at all. It was a eye-opening experience. I'm thankful for it. And we're great friends, like, still.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just like, no. They showed you what the world could be like.
Yeah. Seriously, though. Like, I was like, this is what college is? Cool.
Wow, I'm so glad I came.
Yeah. I was like, what have I been doing the last 2 years?
Yeah.
No, it was so much fun.
You were kind of sheltered.
Very, very sheltered. Yeah. Like, I think I had one boyfriend in high school. It was like 2 weeks long. I didn't even really know boys existed. Like, for my parents, I was the angel child once I got to
high school. If you have a daughter and she doesn't know boys exist, that's like the perfect scenario. Right?
Yeah, I was a good kid, 4.0. Studied hard, worked hard, and went to college and stayed at home my first 2 years of school, drove back and forth to school. Yeah, then I moved in next to the Canadians. And
that
then,
was the end of that?
Yeah, I got a fake ID, went to Jay-Z Cowboys. Like, it was a good time, yeah.
How do you progress from 4.0, never had a boyfriend, to... I mean, what was the time frame? This is getting interesting now.
Yeah, no, Callie, she's so funny. She's actually the one that hosted the bachelorette party for me here a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
I said that was a hoot.
It was so much fun. We had a blast. And she texts me and she's like, here, she's like, I kind of thought you were, I can't remember how she described me, but it was, you know, like a nun, I don't know, but a very goody two-shoe type person.
A nun?
Yeah, I don't know. She, I was pretty, like, on the path. I was not going
to
mess up.
On the
up.
Path to righteousness.
And I guess the first party, I was like, I don't know how to do this. So, like, I went to the liquor store, and I got a bottle of Crown with my fake ID, Hannah. And not a bottle, a handle. Like, it was like the,
you know, the big one.
Yeah, the big one.
Big purple bag.
Yeah, yeah. And I showed up to the party with that, and they're like, We can work with this. So we had a lot of fun. We really did. Swasu was a great time. And we still, I mean, we took care of business, but we enjoyed college for sure.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
So how big was your high school?
Little. There's 19 in my graduating class, and we had a huge class. God. Huge class. And get this. Out of 19, 6 of them were twins.
Huh?
Yeah. What? Yeah, a third of my class was twins, and we were all together basically from kindergarten through 12th grade.
So the reason let's be real here. The reason you didn't have a boyfriend is because there were, like, no boys.
Right? That's not a fair assessment. Yeah.
Like, no. There's no boys, and if there were, they were like, it's either Tommy or Billy.
Right? Yeah, no. I was the kid that, like, if somebody was like, hey, I'm going to go hang out with Emily, when really they were like sneaking out of their house to do something they shouldn't do. Like that, I was that person that they were like, I'm with her.
No one questioned.
Yeah. No one questioned it. Cause yeah. And then they throw me under the bus. Like mom would be like, hey, like, do you guys have fun here? And I'm like, when did we go do that? Get a kick under the table. I'm like, oh yeah. Ah, it was a blast. Like, come on. If I got a cover for you guys, come.
We could have used somebody like you when we were growing up.
Seriously, I would have been your wing woman. I've got your back.
Oh my God, Ivy and myself and my other sister, we were so much the opposite of you. So much the opposite. We were horrible humans.
I laughed when I was listening to that podcast. I was like, literally, like, Ivy and I are great friends. And we were everything opposite growing up.
So opposite. Yeah. Ivy was a party animal from... Yeah. Okay, it wasn't fair to her because she's a couple years younger than mm-hmm. me and my other sister, but I think she even said, or I even said in the podcast, but she was in our group, our high school group, before she was in high school, so she was damned from the very beginning. Yeah.
She didn't stand a chance.
She did not, no, and telling you, that girl partied like no one's business. You could have used Ivy. She would have helped you.
Right, exactly. Like, we could have met in the middle. I know, and that's what, my mom is so funny because, like, my mom can handle her liquor. She can drink my dad under the table. It's really pretty entertaining. And her name's Margaret. And so we always joke her name's Margarita Margaret. Cause like, I'm pretty sure she has like a tequila IV hooked up to herself all the time. Yeah. That's what she told me. She's like, don't put me in a nursing home unless I've got a tequila IV. That's all she wants in life. But she kept like, she was proud of me, but she's like, I wonder when like I'm going to come out and my daughter, like when she's going to like figure out that she can hold her alcohol.
So you're like more like your dad then?
Very much so. But I think as I've gotten older, like I've kind of become a little, you know, a little more of both of them. Mm-hmm. At least I've told that that's, you know, I've grown to be more like my mom as I've gotten older.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's, you know, and I both my parents are awesome. Like my dad flew down the other day. He has a little 2-seater plane and everything's still shut down in Kansas. Uh-huh. And he was like, do you guys have like, is El Patio open? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I was just there, you know, the other day for a couple hours. And he was like, I just need a margarita, like somebody to serve me a margarita. So he's like, is there anything you need help with, at the ranch or farm, whatever? And I was like, yeah. I was like, actually, I kind of need to build some fence. Perfect. I'll bring the fence and supplies. So
is she here? Yeah. She can come in and just hang.
Yeah, let's make sure.
Haley's here.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
I needed a drink anyway. I was getting long-winded.
You could drink during. So
I know. I try to, but.
No, I noticed.
I'm like, I'll be the one that like
waiting.
Yeah, I'll like choke on it, and then you guys will have to revive me.
Never mind. I thought you were Haley Kinzel. You're not.
Different color.
Well, do you remember at Ivy's wedding when we were passing the?
I was okay. So I was so shit faced. I remember having a conversation with you.
Yeah.
I don't remember what that conversation entailed. Let's be real. Okay.
It's probably a good thing. But
we probably talked about teeth and horses. I don't know what else there is to talk about. We talked about
the fact I didn't buy a trailer from you.
Oh, that's right. Yes. I actually did talk to your dad. Yeah. You didn't let me sponsor you a trailer.
I know. God. Sorry.
It's okay.
My bad.
It's actually better for me because the more sponsored trailers are out there, the less money I have. So right. It's actually better.
Yeah. No, I felt bad. But yeah, you did put the guilt on me pretty
your
hard.
Your girl's waving you hey, down.
Girl. How's it going?
Good. I'm sitting outside, like, I'm not going in this.
Well, the only reason I knew is I saw him come in. So I was like, okay.
Oh, you saw me come in?
Yeah.
So I was just rude and didn't, like, let you in?
No, well, I was actually flossing my teeth.
Oh, not the dental hygienist.
No.
Flossing your teeth. Well, I did not floss my teeth before the episode.
No, I had stopped at Bucky's, and Casey was telling me about the tacos that are actually, like, burritos. And so I was like, I got to try this. So I got a taco that is definitely a burrito and had, like, bacon bits, and I just had to.
You had to do that?
Yeah.
I've lived in Texas now for what, like 4 years maybe, and I have never been to Bucky's.
What?
I know. Everybody says that. She's like, what? It's sacrilege. What is wrong with you? Yeah. What is wrong with you?
No, that's not okay. Like, I can't hardly drive by one.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they have them in Oklahoma?
No. That's why it's such a privilege. Like, when you get to go.
It's a privilege?
Yeah, it is.
All you people. All you people down here, like, so mesmerized with a gas station with a woodchuck on it.
No, I got all.
Or is it a beaver? I don't know.
Yeah. Have you not been in the bathrooms?
I have literally never been inside Bucky's, and I will hold that down.
All right, we're going to the one by Texas Motor Speedway.
Yes.
We are not doing anything. Yes. I'm not going to Bucky's.
You need to go. Okay. It is an experience of a lifetime. Like, if you've never been, you're just, like, mesmerized. Like, how can this all be at a gas station?
So everybody's compared it to, like, a Walmart. And I hate Walmart.
No, it's nothing like Walmart.
No, it's nothing like Walmart.
Mm-mm. It's way, it's, yeah, I wouldn't, there it's like apples and oranges.
Oh.
Yeah.
Both it's, are fruit. You're not convincing me.
I
know,
but like, I mean, you can still, you can get food and you can get drinks and you can go to the bathroom there, but it's like, yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah.
Totally different. And they're always pretty fair on their fuel price, you know? So like, if you're like not winning a lot rodeoing, you don't have a fuel card, like it's a really great place to top off your truck.
Oh.
Yeah.
You. So. Bucky's, you're yeah, you getting know, hit up for sponsorship.
You're right.
Do they sponsor any rodeo?
I don't people? Know, but probably like, not. Hey, I'm available. I got room on my shirt.
You got so, room on your shirt?
Yeah. Come on, Bucky's.
An entire beaver on the back of my shirt.
You bet. I'll rep whatever I need to. Yeah. No, what's really cool about Bucky's is like you can pull in and you can park your truck at one pump and then your trailer for your generator at the other mm-hmm. and do both at the same time. You got Def right there. I mean, it's like. One stop shop.
They got to figure it out.
They've got it figured out. It's pretty convenient.
But there's not a ton of them. Like I only know. No, I only know the one that you were talking about, Ty. That's at the by the Motor Speedway. No,
there's
35.
There's a lot.
Really?
Like, I stopped in Terrell, and they're all over the place. Like you see the sign. It's usually about 40 miles out. We'll have a sign on the side of the interstate that says mm-hmm. you know Bucky's. You can hold it, or you know wait for your 44-ounce drink or whatever. You know, yeah.
You are such an expert.
I'm just saying. I'm a Bucky's connoisseur right here.
You seriously are. I mean, I did see somebody walk out with like a 4-foot hot dog on a stick one time, yeah. and that was a decisive moment where I was like, I'm not going in.
Yeah, no, it's like, I mean, everything there. They have fudge and cheese and blueberry muffins, mm-hmm. and I mean, it's awesome.
It has everything. It's awesome. World's yeah. cleanest bathrooms too.
Yeah, and like they're constantly like I've never been in a Bucky's bathroom without seeing an employee in there cleaning.
Really?
Yeah, all the time. Like there's
There's only 48 of them in the state.
48? Did you just look that up?
Yes.
Yeah, he's got the Google at his fingertips. Yeah, it was what we were talking about before we got completely derailed by Bucky's.
We were talking about my dad
yeah.
flying his little Citabra desk.
That's right.
Yeah, so he could go to El Patio.
Yeah.
And I'm an El Patio connoisseur too.
Okay, here I am again. I don't know what that is.
El Patio, it's a Mexican restaurant in Weatherford.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm best buds with everybody in there. They call me Lola. It's my Spanish name. Mm. So we're tight.
Lola's Spanish for Emily?
No, it was just my, like, I picked that name in high school when I had to take Spanish 1.
Spanish class, you pick your name.
Yeah. And I had Spanish 1, Spanish 2. And then, like, they asked me what my name was when I went in there, and I just told them it was Lola, and they've rolled with it ever since.
I remember the Spanish classes because I did the same thing, but I wanted it to be my name. Turns out my name's not a name. So in Spanish, it's Oportunida. Got me a few girlfriends.
Wow.
It did.
Oportunida?
Yeah. Yeah. Opportunity. The word chance is opportunity in Spanish. There's not a word for chance. So I just went, hey, it's your Oportunida. Didn't work.
I'm not sure that one-liner would not have worked on me.
Not well, apparently nothing worked on you because right. you didn't have a boyfriend in high school.
Seriously, though. I was like, no thanks.
No, thank you. Yeah. I will go hang out with my 13 horses. I don't need you or the other boy. I've got two choices. I'm going to choose neither.
Exactly. I can carry my own water buckets. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's brings to the next thing. It's like, you're like a fitness buff. It's kind of the thing that people say about you is like, you have massive quads. But I remember at Ivy's wedding, because Ivy was like, because I hadn't met you yet. She's like, hey, that's Emily. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Did she squat the horse she rode in on?
That's so funny you say that. Because like, it's something that I used to be so self-conscious of.
Really?
Seriously. Yes. What? I was like super self-conscious of how big my legs were. And then they're just strong. And
yeah, but they're like ripped. I remember I was like, she's
I work
ripped.
Really like I literally will go on the Stairmaster like 100 minutes a day.
Oh, like, Jesus.
Yeah. No, I love the Stairmaster. I have a great relationship with it. A lot of people don't. I don't get that.
I'm that guy. I do
not. Yeah. Like they're like 5 minutes and wiped out. I'm like, I could go on that thing for days. I really do. You know, and I still lift weights a lot. Austin, you know, he was a personal trainer for a long time. And so he's been, you know, helpful as far as getting me, like, I don't know, my workouts more particular and like headed the right direction for barrel racing. Mm-hmm. So I don't have as big a legs as I used to have, but yeah, that it's, I guess it's something that is not normal for a girl my size, but I do get compliments on them. So thank you.
I mean, if you're into fitness at all, and I mean, I was into fitness until the COVID-19 thing. Yeah. And like, I didn't, like everybody else didn't go to the gym for like 2 months.
Yeah.
I mean, I could probably live without the gym, it turns out.
We cleaned out my whole garage and put gym equipment in it.
Really?
Yeah, during the quarantine. So we worked out. Like, that was all we did during quarantine was work out. It was awesome.
So you guys went the opposite direction of me, where I was like, better put down the food.
Yeah, no, we ate. Don't get me wrong. Like, we ate a lot of really good food.
Wait, so where did you get gym equipment? Were you, like, quick enough to order stuff? Because I tried to order stuff and could not get a thing.
Yeah, Austin is really good friends with the guy that owns a gym in town. So when they had to shut everything down, he was like, hey, like, we'll rent that equipment from you. And so we rented it, and it's still in our garage, so it's kind of cool. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to stay there, but I'm not mad about it.
Have they opened the gyms up where you're at?
Yeah,
they're open back. Yeah, they just opened up Lifetime, and I was like,
oh, really? No, we've been back for a couple weeks, so it's good to be back. But the guy that owned the gym, you know, he was able to get some other equipment, and he was like, yeah, you guys just keep it for now. Like, it's not a big deal. I don't really think I have room for it anyway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's been super handy, and that's something, like, I don't know. It's been helpful for, like, him and I's relationship. I mean, you know, it kind of started, you know, at the gym and stuff, and he helped me with my workouts and everything. And so, and it's still, I mean, it's, I guess, like a bonding experience, you know, that, you know, I always look forward to, you mm-hmm. know, that a passion we share. So that's
totally,
that's okay. It's not a bad thing.
So you met at the gym. What was his, like, gym pickup line?
It was actually pretty good. So he'd asked me to come over for dinner a couple times, and
Just randomly? He was just hey, I see you over in the squat rack. Nice legs, by the way. You want to go to dinner?
Right. No. No, not like that. But, like, we got to be friends, you know, like we really did develop a good friendship and stuff. And then, you know, he was like, well, he's like, I'm single now. And I was like, okay, perfect. Like, so am I. And he's like, why don't you come over? Like, I'll make you dinner. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. And so, like, he claims it was like four times. I think it was twice, but I turned him down. I was like, last minute, something came up, you know, I don't know, but I just,
you were that girl.
I was that girl. I was finding an excuse. Cause I was, you know, I'd never, like, truly, we talked about this. Like, I'd never had a guy in my life that I thought was more important than my horses ever. I never prioritized relationships over relationships I had with my horses. And so, I was a little nervous about the fact, like, I actually had feelings for him. And, anyway, way to my heart's kind of like any man's food. So he figured that out pretty quick. And he cooked a steak for me on the night that I didn't show up. And he brought it to the gym the next morning at 5:00. So I go waltzing in the gym that morning. And he turns around and he opens the refrigerator up and throws that steak out on the counter. And I was like, what's that? And he's like, that was yours. But it's mine for lunch today because you didn't show up. And the steak looked amazing. Like, I was like, that's like grilled to perfection. So I was like, all right, the guy can cook. I can tell he can cook. I've got to at least take him up on dinner. So the next time.
Well, so why were you blowing him off?
I don't know. I think I was just nervous about the fact, like, I was like, this guy, like, has my attention, and that's never happened. Like, I've never thought, like, I don't know. I mean, even my mom, the first time I called my mom about Austin, I was like, there's this guy at the gym. And she's like, wait, what? You know, I've never heard you talk about someone like this. And I was like, I know, Mom. But I was like, I don't know. I was like, I really like him. And so I think I was scared to be vulnerable and not, like, in control of the situation. Like, and I dated some great guys before, don't get me wrong. But, like, it was always really easy for me to leave and be done with it. You know, I got bored. I was always the girl that got bored. And I've never been bored with Austin. I mean, he's always one-upped me, you know, always outsmarted me. And like the same thing, you know, bringing the steak. And he looked at me and he goes, what day works for you? Instead of me picking the day, you need to pick the day and stay committed to it. So that's how he got me. He did. He cooked me a steak that night. And I was like, yep, I'm done. Done for.
The rest is history. The rest is history. Married this year. Knock on wood.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully the virus doesn't wreck another wedding.
I mean, we are going to get married October 3rd regardless. I'll have my anniversary will be a day before Ivy's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that's when we started dating, was October 3rd. So we're sticking with it. But yeah, so one hell or high water. We're getting married that day, but I hope we get to have a big party. That's the plan. So
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, you got to think by October, like, this has got to be done. I mean, it's already like a running joke.
I know. I hope so. I do. I hope for our world's sake that we're back to normal.
That's pretty soon. Rough.
It really is. I mean, it's just like, even in the dental office, all the regulations have changed so much, you know, and like, you go to the grocery store without a mask on and people look at you like you're the devil.
They do.
You know,
I'm some, like, lady, I went to the store yesterday and this broad, and I'm using broad, not a term of endearment. This broad ran into the cereal trying to get out of my way because I didn't have a mask on.
Yeah.
Like she fell.
Like you have the plague.
And I was just, okay.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I would, right? You just cough on him a little bit.
Yeah.
You're like, I normally would help you up, but like, I don't want to give you my germs. So I'm just going to keep walking.
No, I was like, I'm considering like just kicking you while you're laying down there for being stupid. But
yeah, no, I know. And it's like, I just have a habit. Like I want to shake people's hands. Like I'm like, hey, I'm Emily, you know, or thank you.
Isn't
like
that the most awkward
thing?
Yeah.
And like, I like, yeah, I know.
Get your elbow away from me. I don't know you.
Yeah, I don't get it. I'm having a hard time with it, but, you know.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It's something we'll never forget.
Yeah, 30 million people without jobs are definitely not going to forget it either. No. It just sucks. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with the NFR. Is it just first person to $20,000, you all get to go? Right. I mean, what is going to happen?
I don't know. And that's part of me, you know, like, Ivy made a great comment the other day about chasing ghost rodeos, because seriously, like we still have to be able to profit in this business. I mean, if this is our job, like we still have to be able to make money doing it, and to drive so many miles. I mean, it's just, you know, usually you can kind of have a plan like, hey, I'm going to go to the Dakotas for the 4th of July, or I'm going to go to Canada for the 4th of July, or, you know, Arizona and Utah, like you have a path. And now, I mean, we're going to be doing circles around the US because some rodeos can have theirs, some can't. You know, and so you can't really like hit a cluster of rodeos in one area. And it just, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. And you know, it's, I've kind of had a hard time like trying to figure out, I was like, I finally, like after 2019 NFR, I was like, I have a plan. And I was like, I'm not going to be the girl that has 100 rodeo count this year. Like I'm going to spend more time with my family, but I'm going to take my horses to the rodeos I know they can win at and have this plan. And then here I went to 8 rodeos in 6 months, and guess what? Like, I mean, I'm not far outside of the top 15, but I am outside the top 15 right now. And you know, I have no idea how many rodeos we're gonna have between now and October 1st. So it'll be crazy to see what they decide to do.
I gotta wonder how many people are just gonna be like, forget 2020, we'll just start fresh.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, seriously, it almost seems like it'd be more lucrative to do that, because they haven't even said. They were saying they might do Cheyenne, but now the talk's like, maybe not.
I'd heard rumors.
No way to plan.
No, and it's crazy. It really is. So it'll be interesting to see what they decide. I mean, you know, it's kind of like the deal with Houston at Fort Worth. You know, when I first heard rumor to that, I laughed. I was like, there's no way they're going to finish Houston at Fort Worth. Like, that's two totally different arenas. Like, that doesn't even make sense. Yeah, guess what's happening?
Oh yeah,
like
what's up, Dickie's Arena?
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't even. It's at Northside.
It's at Northside.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. No, it's in the little arena at Northside. Yeah.
Okay, that makes even less sense.
Right. You know. And so I'm like, it's just crazy to me. Like, I applaud them for trying to do something for the contestants, but I'm like, how do you even like? That's not even the same rodeo, you know. But I mean, that's what's happening. So you know, there's no telling what you know decisions are going to be made moving forward to try to get rodeo back going again.
I mean, at least it's something, I guess. I mean, everybody is in a situation they've never been in. And like in literally every sport, every event, it doesn't even matter what it is. It's just, I think they're just trying to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Anything to get it going again.
Is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I just am like super bummed. I totally entered the wrong set. Houston, just saying, I was like, my horse loves Northside. And I'm like Ivy, man. Houston is awesome.
Cursed. Yeah.
To do everything except run barrels at.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you could not run barrels there, it's a great place to go.
Right.
But yeah, the running barrels part's pretty rough.
I mean, it's a fun rodeo to watch too. But
yeah. No, yeah, it's other super than cool the experience.
PETA people out there just marching.
They were not there this year. I don't know if it was too early on.
Oh,
but
they were there.
Oh, really? During our set?
Well, I don't know if it was during your set, but maybe not for you, but they were there. I mean,
really? Yeah.
What was that video of the chick wearing? There was this crazy video of this chick wearing, I don't know, she's wearing like a cow costume, and it was ridiculous.
Yeah, I missed that.
Slaughter, the stock trailers were going by with the stock. It was like Survey or somebody.
Yeah.
And they're like, there goes the slaughter trailers to the rodeo. It's like, could you be any less informed? Maybe not.
Yeah, but. No kidding. Yeah, I didn't see him there this year. I did my very first year, but that was it. So that's the only time I'm always late, except for today. I was early.
You were like, everybody's early today.
I know. We're just running ahead of schedule. But yeah, I'm usually the last trailer pulled in, so maybe they've got him, you know, rallied and cornered up and taken
corralled.
Yeah, corralled by that point. I don't know.
Could be. Well, I mean, it was super fun to have you here and super early, but your girl Haley's over there just
she's wanting to get on the mic. I know. Hey, she's the world champ. You got to get her on here. So,
well, I know we're going to see a world championship out of you. I mean, you absolutely crushed it last year. You put on a clinic and it was so fun to watch. And maybe not 2020. We might not be watching rodeo, but I mean, I cannot wait to cheer you on. And I'm going to get a t-shirt that says the redheaded superhero. Just for that. But where can everybody find you on social media? We want to make sure we plug your social medias and like anything you want to promote.
Cool. No, I my Instagram is EMRMILLER. It's like EMR Miller. And then Twitter is the same thing, but with a one at the end. And then Facebook is Emily Miller, Professional Barrel Racer. And then, shout out to all my sponsors too. I mean, I know this has been kind of a tough time, slow year, you know, but I appreciate them standing behind me while we're kind of in this slower season, and hopefully things get picked up soon.
Totally. You didn't say TikTok, so you're not doing fitness videos on TikTok?
I am not. I don't even have TikTok. I'm like still super sheltered. Remember, like going still back sheltered. To that. Like,
well, hold on. You said you're like, no, I partied in college. I'm not sheltered anymore. You don't look sheltered. You don't have a sheltered face.
It's the red hair. there's parts of me that, you know, little branch out, but yeah, TikTok is. I mean, I think it's awesome for people that are that creative, but yeah, it's not, I guess I don't have that kind of spare time. I don't know. I stay busy. I mean, I'm still cleaning teeth, so, you know, I'm going to do that in my spare time and hopefully get back to rodeo. And
I hope so.
Yeah.
You don't run out of things to talk about.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. This has been The Gauge, hosted by me, Chance Conrado, produced and edited by our guy, Ty Yeager. Shout out to the executive producers, Dustin Pointer and Cody Denton. Marketing and content produced by Casey Burke. Our theme song is by Shay Ashshire and the Night Howlers. Make sure to rate and review this podcast, as well as follow The Gauge on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to The Gauge wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys next time.